Thank you very much, Jane. That was excellent. Maybe we should just have her continue playing, and I'll just sit down. I will go ahead and admit I'm pretty nervous. Don't really want to be up here. But my topic is on unforgiveness, as indicated by the opening scripture. And I probably need to ask forgiveness to Miss Judy Knave for being stricken down by with an abscess tooth to get me up here. But we'll see. Let me go ahead and open up in prayer, and we'll see if I can make sense of all I've got up here. Lord, thank you so much for today. Please be with me as I convey this message, Lord. I pray that your word would be spoken through me, and that that would be spoken through me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to try something here. Start off with a story. This is about a survivor of a concentration camp. And it was some time ago that I was in Berlin. There came a man to me and said, "Ah, I am so glad to see you. Don't you know me?" Suddenly, the thought in my head, "Ah, that man. That was one of the most cruel overseers, guards, in the concentration camp." He said, "I am a Christian. I am now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible, and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, and also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God's grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my victims for forgiveness. Fräulein, will you forgive me?" All right, on to my message. Some of y'all may know that story, but we'll finish that at the end here. All right, so my topic today is, I don't know if unforgiveness is the topic, but it definitely involves unforgiveness. And initially, this was a more of a personal testimony of mine, and kind of my walk through this passage of scripture. Let's just kind of walk through the scripture here. So in verse 21, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times.'" You know, Peter here, he's the outspoken apostle. He's looking for a rule to follow. He's looking maybe about how he can be justified in maybe not forgiving someone. And Jesus responds in verse 22 is, Jesus said to him, "I do not say unto you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. I don't know that Jesus is really promoting account, keeping an account here. I told Amy I wouldn't include her in this message, but I will say this. In our pre-counseling, our pastor counseled us into having forgiveness being part of our marriage. And I'm glad she doesn't keep an account, because I'm sure she'd be over the 490 times by now. But can you imagine keeping up with track? I mean, by the time you've gotten to 479 or whatever, you'd be like, "I'm kind of used to forgiving this guy or forgiving this person." And then Jesus goes on to tell this parable. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. And the master commanded that he be sold with his wife, his children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt." All right, so I did a quick Google search. It's probably not the best source, but just to kind of understand what 10,000 talents is. I got anywhere from 10 million to 3.5 billion. You know, that's probably the, whatever the value of gold or silver is at the time. But to put it into years of work, this guy owed about on an average salary of back in that time, 200,000 years of work. I'm getting some nods from the Wells boys, so at least I might be on track here. When the master, or when the servant fell down to his master, was he asking for forgiveness? No. He still had in mind that he could somehow swing this, right? I don't know if he was delusional, but he didn't have a proper perspective of what he owed his master. But the master still forgave him. But this is part of the parable. The second part here, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So for comparison, the 100 denarii, a denarii was about a work's day's worth of work. So about 100 days worth of work. 200,000 years, he was forgiven, but he would not forgive or even have patience with his man that owed him 100 days worth of work. So his fellow servants saw what he had done. They were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And this is the part that kind of disturbed me. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So the first servant, after showing no compassion or no forgiveness to the person who owed him, the king delivered him to the torturers. I think the King James called them tormentors. So let's see how that kind of applies to us today. So today, modern day debts, the Bible uses trespasses, uses debts. It could actually be money. Someone could owe me money, right? This could be about money, but I don't like to lend money out, so that's usually not the issue with me. It could be broken relationships, broken promises, unfaithfulness, abuse. There are many things that people can do to us that we have to forgive. What are some of the tormentors in our lives that our Lord may turn us over to? Now, first off, I want to say this isn't a salvation issue. This is a sanctification issue. Our right standing in Christ is not based on who we forgive. But our relationship with Him is hampered when we have unforgiveness in our hearts. I think one of the biggest tormentors in this specific area is bitterness. I think the Bible calls, even references bitterness as a root of bitterness, right? So I brought in an illustration here. All right, I'm a supervisor of our lawn care crew. And we tackled a lot of these yesterday, didn't we? It looked like someone had previously tried to tackle this and just took the easy route and lopped it off right there, right? Not to mention any names, Cole. But the root was still in the ground quite a good ways, right? And what happens? It keeps coming back. And a lot of times when I see issues in my life, I try, if I'm smart and thinking biblically and spiritually, I try to think of what's the root issue here. If I'm in a hurry and rushed and life is just going by super fast, I will just lop it off, right? If I'm struggling with pornography, no internet. If I'm struggling with anger, I'm going to have a timeout every time I feel that anger. I'm just going to go to my room and think happy thoughts. You know, am I really dealing with what's causing some of these issues in my life, some of these temptations or just desires to do some of the bad things? All right. So bitterness is one of those things that can get in our, root into our soul or our spirit and really cause wreak havoc. Some physical issues, you know, your face. You've ever seen a bitter person? It can really age you. Stress. I mean, that it may be just the extra stress in your life is aging you. For me, stress will come out in mouth ulcers. Anyone experience mouth ulcers? Now, I'm not saying every mouth ulcer in the world is because you have bitterness in your life or some kind of unconfessed sin. But for me, that's one of the telltale signs that something's going on. When Amy's family would come to visit, boom, my mouth would explode in mouth ulcers. Now, Amy's family is great. Stress. I haven't had mouth ulcers in quite a while, so that's great. A spiritual effect of bitterness. Doubting my salvation. In Matthew 6:14-15, it's right after the Lord's Prayer. If we forgive others, God will forgive you. I'm sorry. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And a similar passage in 1 John 4:20-21. If someone says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that we who love God must love also our brother. I don't know if people have struggled with their salvation. Usually that's something that characterized me early on. And when I say early on, way back when. But when we lose our fellowship with God, that can be definitely something that can happen. And I think about the emotional consequences of having bitterness. When we're focusing on what that person has done to us, it's kind of like meditating on the wrong thing, right? It's like trying to throw kerosene onto a fire to put it out. That's just not going to work. Mark 12:30 tells us what our focus should be. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and with all your strength. This is our first commandment. All right. So you may be saying, well, what can I do? Well, our first step is to realize, who are we in this parable? Are we the guy that has been forgiven the 10,000 talents? That's just an unbelievable amount. But do we realize we're in that position? Do we realize that God has forgiven us that? Matthew 7:1-5 talks about, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. To me, this is, get the focus off of the other person and start examining yourself. How do we develop humility in our lives? That's a big question. And it will vary with different people on how God does that to you or for you. But it's an essential characteristic that we must have. Ask God for help. Ask the Holy Spirit. Reveal in me these root issues. Is it bitterness? Is it pride? Is it whatever? So for me, I'll share my testimony on this part. In high school, I played basketball for the high school team. And the coach that I had was a very angry coach. I don't know too many coaches that don't show some anger, you know, on the sidelines or in the locker room. But something in what he did offended me as a teenager. And I would say he was pretty much downright abusive in some of the actions that he did. Not necessarily physically abusive, but I took an offense to that, and I buried it. I buried a nice, good, deep root there. And I don't know if my parents remember me struggling with this. I remember times in my bed, you know, a lot of times it didn't bother me. But if you mentioned a certain thing, or if I had to start talking about it, it would bring me to tears. It's kind of like that thorn that gets in you. If it's just there, it's fine. But if you start to touch it, woohoo! Or should I say a spine from a tarantula, right? for Aaron's sake there. You know, if you don't deal with it and pull it out, it can be a subject that you just brush across and all of a sudden you're melting down in tears and what's going on here? And I had that with this relationship with this coach. And I dealt with it all through high school. I say dealt with it. I didn't deal with it all through high school. and in college, with the stresses of college and whatnot, I came to the conclusion that I had to ask this man for forgiveness. Why I was asking him for forgiveness, I don't know. At least that was what my initial thought. But I sought God. I sought ways that I could examine myself and the ways that I had failed to be a Christian to him. I identified ungratefulness. I am currently a volunteer coach at a youth league, and I don't spend nearly the amount of time that my coach did with us. And I was never very grateful for the amount of time he poured into us. I'm sure there was, I have a list of things here, pride, self-centeredness, laziness. He kind of ran that out of us, but, but anyway, there were several things that I could take ownership of. And this was when I was in college, and he had moved away from Valdosta. And so I located his number. I called him up. I said, hey, Coach, can I meet with you for a little bit? I'd like to talk to you about something. And he's like, sure. And I came and asked him to forgive me for these particular things that I had had done. And he's like, I had no idea you felt this way. Surely I forgive you. And I felt so free. Excuse me. I don't have that thorn in me anymore. The tears I'm expressing now are just the joy that I had that day when I could be set free from the tyranny that the devil was using in my life for that, for having that, those emotions toward him. It was great. But hopefully there's ways to avoid this, right? We shouldn't have to always fall into the ditch and figure out how to get out of it. So I came up with a few ideas here. First off, realize that God is sovereign. If we look at some of the examples in the Bible, in Genesis, we think of Joseph, right? I had a coach that's, you know, spoke abusively. Joseph had brothers that sold him into slavery, tried to kill, or some of them wanted to kill him. And when he was in Egypt, he wasn't treated too well there either initially. But in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, I guess I should say 19 through 21 here I've got. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. I don't know if I could do that. Actually, I know I can't do that. But maybe the Holy Spirit can, through me. Give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 18. Rejoice always, praying without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. That's hard, right? When things aren't going your way. I hate to say this. I don't mean to say this flippantly. And again, this is something the Holy Spirit's going to have to do through you. Discern character qualities that you're lacking. And this isn't self-examination. Ask the people who know. Ask your wife or spouse. Ask your parents. Ask your siblings. And be open and shut your mouth. If they see it, don't try to defend it. And whatever you do, don't ask God for patience. Now, please do. Just be prepared. And also have a right perspective of this life. Expect suffering. Expect to be wronged. This is not our home. I like that hymn. This world is not my own. I'm just passing through. Philippians 1, 20 and 9. I probably raced through all these, and I'm sorry if you were trying to follow along. "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." So we can expect this world to not be our Garden of Eden. All right, so back to my story. I'll start from the beginning. "It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. There came a man to me and said, 'Ah, Mrs. Ten Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me?' Suddenly I said, 'That man, that was one of the most cruel overseers, guards in the concentration camp.' He said, 'I am now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible. I know there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, and also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done, but then I have asked God's grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims for forgiveness. Fraulein Ten Boom, will you forgive me?' And she responds, and I could not. I remembered the sufferings of my dying sister, Betsy, through him. I was not able, I could not. I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Now I look at that, I'm like, how did she get inspiration from that? But let's see here. "And I said, 'Thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. Thank you, Father, that your love is stronger then my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free, and I could say, "Brother, give me your hand." And I shook his hands. And it was as if I felt God's love streaming through my arms. You've never touched so the ocean of God's love as that you have forgiven your enemies. I cried last night when I read this thing. My goodness. And that's the thing. It's the Holy Spirit. It is not, I mean, if my attempts to make peace with my former coach was in my own power, they would have just gone south. But somehow God worked through me, and I was able to find freedom. So let's recap here. We, as Christians, are that servant that owes the 200,000 years of work, which is infinitely more than that, but Christ has paid that for us. If you don't have that salvation in the first place, that's where you start. You accept what he has done for us on the cross, and that he paid the debt that I owe. But if we are Christians, let's keep this right perspective of our position in Christ and the position that other people and the trespasses that they have done to us can't compare to what Christ has done for us. And that we should, through the Holy Spirit, be able to share that same forgiveness to our fellow Christians, for one, and our enemies. All right, let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for me not totally breaking down up here. And I just pray that you would work in the hearts of the people here that need to hear this message. The New Year's always bring the promise of a new beginnings, fresh starts. But Lord, just begin in us what you want to work in us, Lord. Help us to be attentive to your leanings. Help us to seek out your power through the Holy Spirit and not trying to do something in our own works. In Jesus' name, amen.